How are you?
Good
to be with you. Hey, there's probably no better way. We'd rather wrap up 10 years of being a part of this community and this church than to worship alongside of you and then here just in a few hours to get to participate in baptisms. If you've never been to one of our baptisms, they're crazy, okay? So if you have no kind of framework for what a baptism celebration is, I encourage you to come out and just look. And there's yelling and not yelling. There's you know, laughing. And there may be yelling and hugging. And, you know, there's crying and sharing and eating. And there's joy. And it's this beautiful thing as we get to celebrate people who are saying yes to Jesus with their lives. And I hope that you'll join us. It's a beautiful way for us to move into the new year as a community. Beth and I want to take a moment now to thank you for all that you've done for us and for all that you've been for us. And you've been a family, you've been a community, you've been friends, you've been support, you've strengthened and shaped our love for Jesus. You've shown me what it means to be a local church that loves Christ with all that you are. I'm the leader and a pastor that I am today in great part because of you, and we're so grateful for you. And I just want to give you a quick update on our family. A few weeks ago, we moved into the greater Omaha area. Council Bluffs is a city we're going to be living in. And it's been amazing. We got our kids in school, God provided for the selling of our home here and a home there. And we've just seen his hand through every step of the way. And I'm learning, and I'll be sharing this with you in a moment, in all seriousness, that we are grateful for the way that God continues to have his hand in our lives in ways that we could not have anticipated. And I also believe and am confident that God will continue to shower you with his goodness and mercy in the days ahead. And weeks ago, as I was beginning to realize like a final message would come in my role here as Harbor, as lead pastor here, I was at the same time working through the Gospel of Mark personally, and I came along Mark chapter 6. And if you don't know what Mark chapter 6 is, the whole chapter really is like Jesus feeds 5,000 with a happy meal, and then he comes and he sends his disciples across the lake, and they freak out. We'll get around to this. And he calms their storm. And Mark, in this one chapter, is showing us that Jesus Christ is both the Lord of your need and provision, and he's Lord of your storm. And regardless of where you're at today, he is able and capable to give you and to provide for you what you need. And in that moment, as I was reading this, I knew this is where we needed to go on my final day with you as your lead pastor. And if there's one thing I can leave you with, and if there's one thing that will summarize all that I've learned over these 10 years, and one thing I hope and pray you come to see and experience in your own life, it is this. Jesus Christ is worthy of your life. And no matter what life brings, you can trust him. Jesus Christ is worthy of your life. And you can trust him no matter what this life brings to you. You could be on a mountaintop today, and life is serene and beautiful and clear, and you can see for miles around you. Or you could be in the middle of a storm where turmoil and unsteadiness are riddling your life. But no matter what you're facing, there is no one in this life more capable and dependable and worthy of the trust of your heart than Jesus. And listen to me, if you hold on to him, everything will be okay. And not only will everything be okay, but even more importantly, you will come to see and know Jesus personally as the King of your life. And so in these few minutes, what I want to do is to go to Mark chapter 6 and draw out three observations that I believe teach us something of the character and the trustworthiness of Jesus. So go with me, Mark chapter 6, turn on your phone, look at the screen, grab a Bible, and we're going to look at this together, beginning of verse 45, Mark 6, 45. The gospel writer Mark writes, immediately after he fed the 5,000, after this feeding of the 5,000, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and head across the lake to Bethsaida while he sent the people home. And after telling everyone goodbye, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. And late that night, the disciples were in their boat in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was on land. And he saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the waves. Three things. The first that we find in this piece of the text that show us something of the character and trustworthiness of Jesus. And I'll give this one to you. Write it down. And we're going to work through each together. Number one, Jesus will oftentimes call you out of the safe place and into the storm to strengthen your trust in him. There are times when he will call you out of safety, and he will allow you to walk into a storm in order to, or he will bring about through the storm, a strengthening of your trust in him. Look at verse 45 again. Jesus insisted his disciples get back into the boat and head across the lake. Now, do you think after he insisted, the storms come up and Jesus is like, dang it, I did not see that happening? No, no. In fact, you read the Gospels and you just see that if you spend much time with Jesus at all, you're going to walk through the storms. In fact, you read the Gospels, you get the feeling that Jesus doesn't try to to protect his disciples from the storms at all. Instead, he sends them into the eye of the storm to show them that he is the Lord of the storm. Just two chapters earlier, Mark chapter 4, the gospel writer Mark records another boat ride that Jesus took with his disciples across the same lake, and midway through their journey as he's napping, okay, Jesus is napping, a storm overwhelms the boat. The disciples freak out, as you and I would too. They run to the back of the boat, wake up Jesus, and Mark writes, when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the water, silence. That word means shut up. Be still. And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Now listen, guys, specifically guys, I don't care how cool you think you are, how strong you think you got it going on, how much authority you have at work in your executive office. I don't care. You are not this strong, okay? You never go to Hampton and say, shut up, and then it does that, right? Why, ask the question, why would Jesus allow his followers to walk through the storm? Why would he allow us to walk through storms in our lives? Think about it for a moment in your own life. Isn't it true that the storms of life are where we find it most difficult to trust Jesus? Isn't it true that when things are really, really good, you're like, I got this. You know, you're on a beach in Tahiti, life's good, you got money in the bank, and you don't wrestle with struggling Jesus. You're like, Jesus' hand is on my life. But the minute that the storm comes up in the horizon, you're like freaking out. Isn't that true? Why? Because they unsettle you. They unnerve you. They sweep the feet out from under your life, and you're like, oop, I was not expecting this. And those are the moments we begin to freak out. Just a few weeks ago, I was with some friends, and we're camping in New Hampshire. And the second day we were there, it's beautiful, it's sunny, and we're out in the middle of a lake canoeing, and my kids are kayaking, and we take a break so that my kids can jump off of a rock, and I'm over here with a canoe and kayak at probably 100 yards away. And it comes time for me to take the kayak back to my son and to pick up my other kids. And so I'm paddling and I'm pushing the kayak and I'm paddling and I'm pushing the kayak in circles. And I'm slowly making my way over to them. And then finally I give it one more push and I push too hard. And my canoe just goes whoop and it filled with water immediately. Okay? And I'm freaking out for a moment. Now listen, it's a canoe. It's a beautiful, calm lake. And still in that moment, I'm a little unnerved. Now, here's a funny part of the story. A couple minutes earlier, there's a teenager about 100 yards away from me, and he did the same. He capsized his canoe, and I'm laughing on the inside. I'm like, you idiot, man. You got to learn how to canoe, baby. And then he's bailing water out of his canoe, and I'm like, man, you got just watch me. And then 2 minutes later, no joke, I'm kind of, trying to get over to my kids. My canoe's full of water. If you've ever canoed, you can't do anything about that, right? You can't. So I get over to the rock. My friends are just cracking up. You know, they're just like, ah, I've got great friends, no compassion. And so this moment, like I'm on the inside completely undone. That was a lake in New Hampshire, okay? Things were okay. But isn't it true in our lives that our first reaction when a storm arises is we just lose it? We're like, oh man. I mean, tell me, how do you respond when you face the storm of sickness? Or of a bad prognosis? How do you respond when someone that you loves, that you love, leaves you or passes away? How do you respond? Well, of course, you and I experience deep emotion in those moments. Of course, we're sad. Of course, in some ways, we're crushed at the sense of loss or bad news. But isn't it true that we also, on the inside, we're just unnerved, we're undone? Why? How do you respond when you face the storm of a job loss or financial insecurity? How do you respond? Some of us have faced the storm of a broken marriage or a wayward child or an unrealized dream, and some of us have experienced failure or disappointment. And isn't it true that those tend to be the moments, not just where we're sad or unsure or uncertain or experience a little bit of worry or fear, of which fear is, of course, a God-given emotion. Isn't it true that we don't just experience fear in those moments, but we panic? And much like the disciples who said to Jesus, "Don't you care if we drown?" We say the same thing. "God, if you were real, if you really loved me, you wouldn't allow me to walk through this." Isn't it true? And our hearts are undone in those moments. But don't you see, this text shows us that Jesus even sends the people he loves into the storm. Why? I would suggest that you must walk through a storm and experience Christ in the midst of your storm to understand the depth of his love for you. In fact, I would say that until you walk through a storm and experience him in the midst of the storm, you will never know that he is more powerful than the storms of your life. You'll never know how far his power and mercy and strength and sustaining ability in your life goes. So why does he allow you to go through the storms? Why is he allowing you to go through the storm that you're going through today? Because sometimes he'll allow you to walk out of safety into the storm to strengthen your trust in him. And he'll do it. But the second thing you'll find is that your storm is the sacred ground upon which Jesus does his best work. So not only does he strengthen you, but he shows up and he does beautiful things in the midst of our storms. Look at verse 48. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on their water, and he intended to go past them. But when they saw him walking on water, they cried out in terror, thinking he was a ghost. And they were all terrified when they saw him. But Jesus spoke to them at once, "Don't be afraid." He said, "Take courage, I'm here." Then he climbed into the boat and the wind stopped and they were totally amazed. Mark writes, one moment they're freaking and the next moment Jesus gets in the boat and says, "Take courage, I'm here." And they're high-fiving, and in a moment they move from anxiety to awe and from fear, and they're falling on their knees and saying, "Wow, Jesus, I had no idea you could do this." And of course for you and I, the question is, how in our lives do we move from experiencing anxiety, fear, from being undone, to falling on our knees and worshiping him because there's such a confidence in our hearts that he is able and capable to be the Lord in the midst of our storm? How do you move from losing sleep to worshiping in the middle of the night? How do you do it? How do we learn to trust Jesus in the face of the storm? I'll give you a couple of ways. Notice in the text that Jesus went to the disciples. He literally went across the water to them. He could have stayed at a distance. He was on land. He could have looked out over the sea and said, "Calm, be still." He didn't have to be on the sea. But he went to them and he got into their boat. And in the same way, you must, number one, you must go to Jesus. You mean go to Jesus? Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus? Go to Jesus. And in the same way he went to his disciples, invite him into your life as you look into the eye of the storm and say to him literally, "Jesus, come into my life. Meet me in the storm. Show me that you are Lord over it." And he will do that. He will. If he's real, and I believe that he is, I believe he will do that for you. Years ago, a woman started attending Harbor. And quite honestly, at the time, she was skeptical of Jesus. She was unsure of Christianity altogether. When you got into conversations with her, she was antagonistic. She wanted to argue about it. And there were times through those years that I'm like, "Why are you coming? Why do you come back?" I would have never said that. But I'm like, "Why is it that you keep coming back? I don't know." And it was a good question. It's like, "What's here?" But she'd communicate, "Every time I come, I feel like I'm encountering God in one way or the other." And her story just grew. What was beautiful is we became friends over the seasons. And yet still in the midst of our friendship, she would say, "Jed, I'm just not sure that I can believe in this person, Jesus. I don't know who he is, that I could trust him with my life." And she'd say, "I need to know, Jed, if he is the Messiah." And her storm was unbelief. It was skepticism. It was an unsureness about Jesus overall. That may be yours as well. Just Thursday morning, we had an opportunity to baptize Lisa into Christ. And we wanted her to be able to share her story with you of how Jesus met her in the face of her storm. Watch her story.
Here's Lisa's testimony. This has been an amazing journey since I dropped out of Hebrew school, class Gimel. Due to severe fighting with the rabbi, I have been seeking to understand and connect with this mysterious, elusive, all-powerful, and all-inspiring God. This whole time, I have been wondering, is Jesus the Messiah? I must have asked that question in a thousand different ways through dozens of Bible studies, graduate courses, and obsessive research. And yet, I could never get a solid answer that made me believe. More fast-forwarding to my final Feng Shui revelation. I was having lunch at the Feng Shui restaurant on Route 110 in Chelmsford with my dear Bible study friend, Claudette. And I was sharing with her my frustration about this Jesus issue, how it was just going to drive me crazy until I knew for sure. I was asking God right there in the restaurant to hit me over the head with a 2x4 or show me a billboard so that I would know for sure. At that very moment, a voice whispered, "Read Isaiah 53. My face suddenly looked stunned. Claudette said, "What just happened?" And I told her I heard a voice say, "Read Isaiah 53. So I opened my Bible Gateway app and looked it up. What a shocker. Isaiah, one of my Old Testament prophets, was actually describing Jesus' life and how he did the opposite of your typical hero-savior pattern. Isaiah 53 was God's response to my whining and complaining, my show me now response, my billboard, my 2x4. God has such a sense of humor also, because coming to me at an Asian restaurant called Feng Shui was just the perfect way to blast through my stubborn interfaith bias. Plus, even though I had read the Bible so many times, somehow I never grasped the enormity of Isaiah 53. This was a dazzling moment of awe and wonder. I cried into my bok choy and fish. I suddenly got that this is it, the end of my long search. I can give up the battle. From this point forward, I can accept that God manifested as Jesus as a category of one, and provided for all of us humans a gateway to knowing him and living more like him. Christ in me, the hope of glory, means that I will live more in Christ consciousness and less in Lisa consciousness. I am soothed by the knowledge that God is in me and I am in God, and that all is well all the time. When I feel blue, when I am down, I just need to refocus on the fact that God is good all the time. In fact, I have come to believe that everything that is happening to me is happening for me. That's the new Christ consciousness in me today.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I love when Lisa said, and she's got such a humor and she's so witty and intelligent, but I love it when she came to the place where she said, "Jesus, if you're real, hit me upside the head with a 2x4. And he did it, okay? And I'm not saying that that's always how Jesus will do it, and I'm not saying that he'll always meet you over bok choy, but what I am saying is that the Lord who met Lisa in the storm of unbelief is equally as real and powerful to meet you in yours. And oftentimes, it's the storm that Jesus does his best work in, because it's the storm when you and I become most receptive. And all of our illusions of control and all of our grandeur of strength and power erode out from under us, and we realize we need something or someone to walk through us and with us through life. And we realize, unless someone rescues me in this moment, I'm sunk. And that's when all control is gone, we can finally hear Jesus say, "Take courage, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here." Your storm is the sacred ground upon which Jesus does his best work. Don't run from the storm, run to him in the midst of the storm. And finally, number three, you will never know how trustworthy he is until you step out and trust him. You'll never know how trustworthy he is until you step out and trust him. I don't know what storm you faced yesterday, what storm you're looking into the eye of today, what storm will come, and you don't even realize that it will come tomorrow, and yet it will. What I do know is that until you step out and place your life in his, you'll never know that he is faithful to carry you through the storm. You ask the question, well, what does it mean to trust Jesus? What's it mean? What's it look like to place my hand in his, my life in his? If you've been around Harbor very long, I've shared in multiple ways and multiple times the best image that I know of what it means to trust Jesus. So for some of you, you'll hear it for the first time, but for others, you'll be like, yeah, I get that. I have an 8-year-old, Elise, and still to this day, every time we walk through any kind of crowded place, any kind of public place, any mall, any grocery, any shopping area, she always holds my hand, always, to this day. I just want to take that and package it. You know, one day I know I'm going to have to give that up if we're going to be healthy as a family. But for today, you know, for today I'm like, babe, you know, you do that. You just hold my hand. And in those moments when she has my hand, without saying any words, Elise is saying to me, Dad, I trust you and I feel safe with you. And I know that as long as you're holding on to me and I'm holding on to you, everything will be okay. Now, I love my little 8-year-old deeply. I would do anything for her and to protect her. And yet my love for Elise is a drop in the ocean compared to Jesus' love for you and for her. You see, Jesus doesn't simply love you in some general sense of the word. He's not a distant, sentimental God who offers a little help or support when you're in trouble. He's not like today, like, come on, you can do it, I know. He's not offering you that kind of encouragement. He's not that kind of God. His love is so much greater than that. You see, Jesus loved you enough to walk into the storm for you. You know, Lisa talked about, yet she didn't read it, Isaiah 53. Do you know what Isaiah 53 says? Have you ever read Isaiah 53? Go and do that today. But I'll just read a little bit for you. In Isaiah 53, the prophet Isaiah, years before Jesus would come, talked about the Messiah who would come to rescue his people. And he wrote, yet it was our weaknesses that he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God and punishment for his own sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We've left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. You know, historically, various religions will describe the gods who expect the humans to serve them. And when the humans don't do a good enough job, if you know any of kind of your fiction or legend, you know that the gods then pour out their wrath on the people. And oftentimes it comes through storm and hurricane and unrest. Only Christianity says, no other religion in all of history claims that God walks into the storm for his people. And yet the gospel says exactly that. On the cross, Jesus Christ bore the storm of our sin so that you and I don't have to bear the punishment we deserve. On the cross, Jesus had been beaten and whipped, and he was crucified so that we could be healed and put back together. He was completely undone so that you could have peace. Though we've walked away from God, Isaiah said, God did not walk away from us. Instead, the Son of God stretched out his arms to bring you back into the Father's arms. And he did it because he loves you. So go to him and cry out to him and invite him to be not only the Lord of the storm, but the Lord of your life. You see, if you've got a God who will die for you, won't he also walk through everything with you? Go to him, because you will never know how trustworthy he is until you step out and trust him. Friends, some of you today, I'm going to guess, because I know the spectrum of people who join us every worship gathering and weekend here at Harbor, some of us today are completely skeptical of the person of Jesus, and you're still unsure, like Lisa. You're just like, I don't know if I can trust him. The idea of Christianity, what you grew up with, what you know it to be, may be different than what the Bible says that the gospel's about, and because of that, you keep Christ at arm's length. And there are some of us in here today that believe that if we live well and work hard, we'll always avoid the storms of life. You don't need Jesus, is what you think. But please hear me. No matter how fit you are or how strong you feel, one day you will grow weary and your strength will fade and you will sag in all the wrong places and you will realize that the things you were depending on cannot sustain you. I don't care how much money you make, how good of a job you have, how posh your lifestyle is. One day, you'll lose it all, or worse yet, you'll take it all to the grave and it will not be able to sustain you through the worst that life will bring. People may like you today. Man, you could have popularity. You might have approval. But don't you realize that with life, the joy also comes pain, that someday you're going to disappoint or they're going to disappoint you. Someday you're going to fail or they're going to fail you. And when you do, you realize everything I had built my life on, the foundation of it is eroding. And in that moment, you will know that you need something or someone who will walk with you through life, who will never fail you. And Jesus alone will never fail you. And when you fail him, he will forgive you completely. Friends, some of you in my community here at Harbor, those of us who have been walking alongside one another in life and faith for the last many, many years, I know that some of you are going through storms today. Storms of broken family, broken marriages, broken finances, physical illness, uncertainty, job loss, frustration, disappointment, failure, lack of success, a dream that was never realized, you're having a difficult time trusting him for your future, a relationship that's broken to reconcile, fill in the blank, whatever it might be. But in these last few minutes, can I compel you, can I plead with you to go to him and invite you into your life as Lord and as Lord of the storm? Over these last months, as we've realized we were going to say goodbye, there have been many, many times, and I'd be lying if I didn't tell you this was true, where I felt unsure and uncertain. Even uncertain that we were making the right decision. There were sleepless nights, and I'm telling you, in those moments, my illusion of control of my own life kind of shattered. And Jesus has been teaching me that not only is he faithful to provide for our family and for Harbor and to supply all of our needs, but he is faithful through whatever we walk through to walk hand in hand with us there. And for that reason, you know, I don't know what you're facing today, but I know for sure Harbor's in a transition season, aren't we? And you know what? I could give you 100 reasons not to be concerned by this transition, so I'll give you like 5, okay? If you want the other 95, catch me afterwards. Man, you have an amazing leadership here. You have an incredible staff here. You've got incredible lay leaders here who love Jesus and seasons before I even showed up were committed to the mission of Christ, who are unified and love this body and are committed to following Christ wherever he leads. We've got an incredible community knit together by the Holy Spirit, laboring for the good of our neighborhoods and communities. I mean, it's a remarkable community. Financially, things are strong here. Our team is working well. I could tell you over and over, don't worry. All of these reasons and all of those would be true. But at the same time, at the end of the day, that's not what you need. Because all of those things can change, can't they? No, what you must know, the one reason you shouldn't fear, the one reason you can have peace and joy in the midst of the storms of life and changing in seasons and unsettling seasons of life is because you belong to the Lord of the storm, and our storms is where he does his most sacred, beautiful work. I believe it. On Wednesday night, I was having dinner with a lot of my friends, and all of them at this particular table our leaders in one right or another at Harbor. And it was just men that night who were together. And I was talking with a friend of mine to the right who, this was the first time we had talked since I had announced my transition. We'd been on vacations and away from each other. Our paths just had not crossed. And his name's Mark, and he's a wonderful man and friend. And in the midst of our dinner, he's asking me questions, and we're talking, and then just out of nowhere, he said, "Jed, I don't mean to be inhuman." And anytime I don't mean to be inhuman, okay, you just kind of like take a step away. You don't know where they're going with that. I didn't know if he was going to grab a fork, like, "I can't believe you're leaving us." I didn't know if he was going to like criticize you, you know, "What are you, stupid? What are you doing?" He didn't say that, and I'm glad. But what he said, in the moment was that greatest gift anyone could have given me, and I'm simply passing it to you. Mark looked at me and said, "I don't mean to be inhuman, Jed," and then I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. He said, "We're good." He said, "The future of this church has never been about a person. It's about a spirit, a heart that Jesus, by his spirit, has implanted in us that has come to define this place. It's about our commitment to helping people find their way back to God." And then Mark looks at me and he says, "Jed, you leaving does not change that." And he was right. Our transition does not change that. This is a remarkable community because we serve a remarkable Lord. And therefore, we have been shaped into remarkable people by his mercy. I told you several weeks ago, and I'll remind you again, that the church in Harbor specifically has never been about a single person or leader or communicator or visionary or pastor, but about our one true leader and King Jesus Christ. We're made right with God through him. He unites us together in spite of our differences. He fills us with his spirit. He showers us with his mercy, and he can do through us more than we can imagine for his glory. And those circumstances might change. Our Lord does not change. And because of that, I am confident, Philippians 1:6, that what he began in you, he will bring to completion through you on the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. And on that day, when we're together, and I hope we have many, many more moments before that day comes, we will worship him hand in hand as we've done, and we will love him. So Harbor, run after Jesus. Trust Jesus. Throw your life into him. Be built up by him. Make much of him for his glory, for your good, that he may satisfy your hearts in the midst of whatever life brings. And I'm confident he'll do that, okay? Can we pray together around that? Let's pray. Lord, we love you, and we are thankful for the gift of a community like Harbor. And in this moment, just kind of with open arms, we acknowledge that we are but dust and ashes, if not for your mercy. We're finite, we're weak, we're limited, in so many ways incapable, and yet we think we're so much stronger than we really are. But God, the storms of life shatter that illusion, and we know it's true. And yet, God, in your mercy, you've created us, and then through Christ, though we walk away from you, you recreate us and set our hearts to beat for you so that we can walk with you together and make much of you and be satisfied in you. And God, we worship you for that. And so today, across this room, I pray that for my friends who are unsure of who you are, I pray that you would wake them up, that you would meet them in the face of the storm of unsureness, of unbelief, of skepticism. And you would show yourself to be true and real and good and worthy. And for my many, many friends through this community who today are walking in you, but their lives are unsettled by the circumstances of life, may you show them that you are faithful and true, and the storm in which they stand is the sacred ground upon which you do your greatest work, and we believe it's true, and together we hold hands right now in spirit and in heart, saying, "Lord, if you will do this in us, if you'll sustain us and walk with us, we will make much of you with our lives for your glory, Christ, we pray." And we trust in you, Jesus.